What caused her to become so radical?
Her mother and father. That's an easy answer. I didn't have to hesitate on that.
Why would you do that to them?
Do what to them?
Cause them to become so radical, kind of all into the black
radical,
thing.
Radical is not a negative word. Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Bye. Are you about to run? He ran. Welcome to The Fallen State. I am Jesse V. Peterson. Today, we're recording out of the radio studio due to the Chinese virus. We're going to be back on The Fallen State normal set real soon, sooner than what you think. And The Fallen State is on Patreon. Be sure to click on the Patreon link in the description and point down to support our work. And I absolutely appreciate it. I have a very interesting guest today. I have with me Matthew Knowles. He is the founder and CEO of Music World Entertainment. He is the author of many books, including Destiny Child, The Untold Story. And he is the father of music superstar Beyonce. Matthew, thank you so much for being with me. I appreciate it.
I am so happy to be here, Jesse. I just have one addition to the introduction, which I very much appreciate.
Yes.
But I have two superstar daughters. I have to remind people.
That's right.
My second daughter, Solange, that's a Grammy Award winner, multiple awards, number one debut album on Billboards. And when you get to that level, you have to be acknowledged as a superstar also.
Why do you think that's a very good point? Why do you think people tend to leave her out?
I think people forget, I'm sure, and I was thinking about this, Jesse, it's interesting you asked. I think people forgot and forget with Venus and Serena Williams. They just forget that, you know, Beyonce and Solange together are the only two sisters in the history, when you make history of music, to have number one debut albums in the same year.
Yeah.
And I just bring to people's attention, Solange is successful in her own right and write a lot of those songs we know by Beyonce and Destiny's Child.
Dude, does she feel any personal feelings about that and that people tend to leave her out and the focus is on Beyonce?
No, not at all, because all people don't do that.
Yeah.
Solange is in that alternative R&B world, and it's a totally different world than the R&B, so she's not in the same lane.
Oh, okay.
Successful in her own lane.
Right on. So I read that you grew up in Alabama.
I did, Jesse. I grew up in Gaston, Alabama. I was just sharing. My brother, he's deceased now, but his name was Jesse as well.
Amazing.
So it's an honor to be sitting here talking with you. You kind of remind me of my brother, actually. But I grew up in Gaston, Alabama. We're talking in the 50s. I was born in 1952. Interesting enough, never went to a black school until my junior year of college. So I integrated elementary, junior high school, University of Tennessee. It was a very, very racially dominated time. We think today is nothing like it was back then, getting beaten, getting spit on, getting electric prodded. It was a challenging time.
So I grew up in Alabama as well, right outside of Montgomery, near Tuskegee, Eufaula, and all those areas.
I know that area well.
Yeah. And when the last year of my high school, 1968, when they first started to integrate the schools, because I remember there were white teachers at my school for the first time, I did not experience what they call racism. And we're going to get into that in a minute, growing up in Alabama. So a lot of things that the blacks are complaining about when they complain about Jim Crow and slavery and all that, it looked like they don't know what they're talking about. They've just been brainwashed by other blacks and liberal whites who are trying to use them. What do you think of? So, Gordon, and then I want to ask you, what do you think about the complaints of black Americans today? You said you grew up you went to all-white school down in Alabama when the blacks and white was first coming together. Would you call that racism or hatred?
Which part? The part of coming together?
The way you were being treated while in all whites.
The way I was being treated was absolutely racism. Racism is defined as that I hate you. I think I'm superior to you. I think I'm better to you than you. That's really the definition of racism. And absolutely, we're around the same age. You're actually probably a few years older than me because I graduated high school in 1970. So it was the same experience. George Wallace, as you know, was the governor. We had a thing called freedom of choice, which meant that a parent, black or white, could send their kids to any school that they wanted to. The difference, however, Jesse, was George Wallace said, but you're on your own, meaning that you can send your black kid to a all-white school, but we're not going to be there to give you safety. You're on your own. So my mother went to high school with Coretta King in Marion, Alabama. And so my mother was a leader when she came to Gaston in desegregation and the integration movement. So again, I went to an integrated elementary school. I integrated with others. Junior high was only six of us, 1,000 white kids, and Gaston High. And University of Tennessee, it was 18,000 white kids, and it was about 28 black kids. So I was in that first generation and first movement, absolutely racism.
What's the difference between racism and hatred? Because I can see that our battle is a warfare between good and evil, right and wrong, and that the word racism is made up by race hustlers like the so-called civil rights movement people and the liberal whites. Those words are made.
Is that how you feel, Jesse, as a black man?
Yeah, that word is made up in order to divide and control and conquer. Whereas when I was growing up in Alabama, we knew that it was a battle between good and evil, right and wrong. There were good in all races. There were bad in all races. How would you define hatred or evil?
But you use a term. You call Martin Luther King a racial hustler?
I don't think that was his intention when he first started out. But I think it came about once he allowed Jesse Jackson and all those other people to get involved. I think that changed the original meaning of the so-called, I guess, civil rights movement. They changed it and made it so that they can take over the hearts and minds of the people and call themselves leaders of the blacks.
Well, I do. This is going to be a great interview because you met your match here, Jesse. So this is going to be a great interview. I don't get emotional. I'm going to be very intellectual and heartfelt.
Right on.
So get ready for it, okay?
All right.
I'm a college professor. I believe in allowing my students and to give them a perspective on life.
Right on.
So I, as a college professor, 12 years now, I'm glad to see you have a perspective. It's totally different than mine's, so we can agree to disagree on our perspective. But I don't see it the way you saw it.
Define racism for me and then define evil.
I already defined racism.
And what do you call, how do you define evil?
How do I find evil?
What's the definition of evil?
Evil for me, I don't know, evil for you, but evil for me is when you purposely, strategically do something wrong to hurt someone in a dark way. That's evil to me.
And so anyone can be evil and anyone can be so-called racist. Am I right about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jesse.
So the blacks who are trying to control other blacks, the uppity blacks who are trying to control the lower class blacks, are they racist?
I don't consider that racist if I'm trying to be control someone. It's not certainly not right, Jesse. That's wrong behavior.
Is it evil?
And I talk about that, Jesse, in my, I have five books. And I talk about that in Racism from the Eyes of a Child. I go into things like colorism and how that effect was. And, you know, in Emancipation of Slaves Through Music, one of my books, I talk about in slavery how if you got to work in the big house, that you were considered an elitist over the other slaves. So I somewhat understand the direction you're going with that question. That has happened before in America for blacks, black on black.
Yeah. So am I right when I say that the uppity blacks who are trying to control the lower class blacks, are they being racist toward those blacks? Yes or no?
I have to think about that in the context that you're meaning, that someone that I can only assume when you say uppity, I have to have more definition of your definition of uppity.
The black term. Politicians and the black so-called professors and some of the black preachers who are feeding these blacks all this crap and have them acting out while they're sitting back collecting the money and collecting status. Is that racism?
No, I don't think it might be ignorance, but I don't agree with you that professors and ministers would be defined as uppity. I would define them as possibly leaders in their community. I would define them as educated. I would define them. We can't give a whole blanket definition, even racism. We can't say every white person is racist. We can't say every successful black person is uppity. That would be disingenuous to do that.
Why do we didn't, when I was growing up down in Alabama there, we didn't need leaders as people. We have families, we have fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, and they were our examples growing up. Once we became adults, we didn't need leaders. Why do blacks need leaders? What happened to them that they can't lead their own lives?
Well, I think, Jesse, I study a lot in organizational culture. Leadership is needed in all aspects. We have leadership in our family. We typically, that leader is the man in the family. We have leaderships in corporation. That's typically the president or chairman of the corporation. We have leaderships in churches. That's normally the minister. So leadership is certainly required because that's who brings people together. That's the person that gives a direction of and has empathy for the people that work with them. You know, leadership is certainly required. There's leadership in your organization. That's someone. You didn't do the microphones today. Someone else did that.
Right, but I'm not their leader. They work for me. But I'd like to know what happened to the blacks that even the men act like the women. I understand the woman need a man over her to guide her the right way to go. Otherwise, she goes out of control. But what happened to the black men that they act like women and they look to somebody to lead them? And
you mean currently the younger generation? I'm 68 years old. I don't see that in my generation.
Right. Well, from your generation down, from our generation, that's when it seemed to have started. What happened to the black men that they would look to another man to lead them? How did they lose a sense of self-control?
Oh, I understand your question better. I don't think leadership is defined by gender. You have many women that are effective leaders.
Really?
Absolutely.
Can you name one?
Well, the president of Xerox Corporation. You've heard of Xerox before, right?
I know, but she's not a leader. She worked for Xerox.
She was. She's not currently. But
right,
she was
but she has to follow the manual. She's not like a leader. A leader is someone who is the light of a family. The man is the head of his wife and children.
Are we talking in a family setting leadership?
No, I'm talking in a non-family. The blacks are looking to... the black men are looking to other men and women to lead them. It's just so abnormal. And it's the blacks who are the only ones that are living that way. What happened to them along the way?
What do you call the president of the United States? Is he a state? Is that person a leader of the country?
He represents the country. He looks out for what is best for the country, but he's not an individual leader of anyone.
But looking out what's best, is that not leadership? Part of leadership?
Yeah, but it's nothing direct. You know what I'm talking about. Like the blast, they look to Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Louis Farrakhan, the Wicked Witch of the West, Maxine Waters, the NAACP. They're out riding and carrying on now like animals instead of being common sense kind of people.
Jesse, what happened to them? Jesse, I can't subscribe to that type of dialogue and behavior. I have a different view than yours. I think it's important as Black people that we uplift and uphold each other, especially in these challenging times. We certainly don't need right now, this moment, in all of the challenges of the coronavirus and all of the challenges that we've heard of just recently in Minneapolis, in Georgia, in Louisville, Kentucky. We don't need this type of dialogue. It's very dangerous. We should be uplifting our Black people right now, not tearing them down.
Who is leading the Blacks who are supposed to be leading other Blacks? Who are leading them?
Currently, who's leading them?
Yeah, who leads? Jesse Jackson and the NAACP.
Jesse Jackson and
I'm sorry?
Who are leading? Just like, I mean, when you say that, you're saying you define Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton as Black leaders. So your question is who's leading them? Who's giving them direction?
Right.
I don't know. You would have to ask them that. I don't know if there's someone leading them. I'm not aware of that.
That's a very good point. I want to move on, but that's a good point because if I was the Blacks, I would ask, if you're trying to be my leader, who is leading you and who is leading that person? And if you have sense enough to lead your own life, why don't I have the common sense to lead my own life? Oh, let me ask. I wanted to ask, where is the town you grew up in down in Alabama? And what big city is this near?
It's 50 miles north of Birmingham on 59. Uh-huh. It's between Birmingham and Chattanooga.
Right.
It's the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, so it's quite hilly and mountainous.
Oh, good. Right on. Yeah. And one last thing about the integrated school you went to, mostly all white schools. Why did the Blacks wanted to go to white schools? Why would they impose on the white schools?
Well, I can only speak for my situation.
Right.
You know, when you're in the first grade, you're a child. You don't have much say in what happens, right?
Yeah.
We would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Right? And the same in junior high and high school. My mother, again, wanted what she felt was best for her child. She wanted what she felt that would give her child the best education, that would give her child leadership, as we've talked about, ability to lead. I think that's why my mother put me in those schools. And she wanted to give, she felt that was unfair, and so do I today, unfair that because of the color of my skin, I can't go to a school. I should be able, for the same reason that, as you know, when we grew up, there were colored and white water fountains. You know, and colored and white bathrooms. I don't think because of my color or your color that we should have to go to a certain water fountain or to a certain bathroom, or we can't eat in a restroom. I think those are all the reasons compounded that my mother wanted me to go and integrate those schools.
Do you think that was a good idea for your mother to put you in that environment if it was such as bad as, you know, you said you were taxed and stuff you had to go through? Was it right or was it worth it for your mother to put you through that?
I think I've, I have challenges in my life. The trauma that I received from being in those positions as a child certainly had trauma behind that and had certainly had to work on that. Would I do that again to my kids? I don't know. I would have to look at all the circumstances. You know, to compare 2020 to 1958, there's a big difference there.
You wrote a book about your daughter, Beyonce, called Destiny Child, The Untold Story. How much of an impact did it have on your children to be successful by having two parents in the home?
I think that's key and critical. I think if you look at most of us today that had two parents in their home, yeah, they're pretty stable, you know, and their marriages is pretty stable. I think it's critical and important, because in a lot of Black families today, you don't have both.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why do you think that's not pushed? Because one thing that I have a nonprofit organization called Bond, and we are rebuilding a family by rebuilding a man and encouraging men to get married, men and women to get married before starting to have children, because it impacts the family in a very, very good, positive way. Why do you think that's not pushed today by the so-called leadership of the Blacks? If more, there doesn't seem to be a shame about having children out of wedlock, and they are fighting the whites and trying to take from them rather than pushing the idea of the family and then teaching their children the right way to go. Why do you think the family is not pushed?
I don't know about that, Jesse. I was told today we weren't talking about family values. Maybe my publicist got the wrong information. I was told we were talking about Destiny's Child. And if we're not talking about Destiny's Child, then we certainly need to reschedule this interview.
Yeah, we'll get into that now. And that's why I'm asking. With your family, you came from a family. I came from a family. Father, mother, grandfather, grandmother. And likewise, you did too. My son is doing very well. And so is your kids are doing very well.
I congratulate you for that your son is doing well.
Yeah. And so my question, by you being a professor and you out there and you see what's going on, why do you think the family is not being pushed in the Black community today?
I don't agree with that family is not being pushed. But again, Jesse, that's not why I'm here today. That's not my purpose. I have a quite a busy schedule. If we're not going to talk about Destiny's Child, I just really would like to end the interview.
But we are talking about it. We're talking about the success of your kids due to having a family. Am I right?
No, the success of my kids, you know, that's a very good approach. I like that. The success of my kids having a mother and father in the family. But we've already covered that. I think the role of a good parent is to guide their kids, not to direct their kids. And for them to learn, our kids learn from our failures and our successes. Yeah. We didn't always have successes. We had failures also. So I certainly agree with you, Jesse, that it's important to have that family. I don't think that we live in a culture and a society, Black folks or white folks or brown folks, that don't see or understand the importance of family. I think we live in a society today. And this is not a Black or white or brown thing. It's just values have changed. My grandfather's values were different than my parents' values. And I think that has a lot to do with the current day that you live in, that we can't compare and look back in a rear view mirror and say one was better or worse than the other. We didn't have technology when I grew up. You know, I didn't even have a cell phone. We had a three-party line, as you probably remember that growing up in Alabama.
I remember that.
I mean, most people we talk to wouldn't have a clue what we're talking about. Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, all of that is changing. And I think the more that folks talk about it in a positive way, you know, and you're right, a lot of the success, because when we went into the music industry, it's an industry, and the whole artistic industry, you know, a lot of those artists, this was their way out, just like for sports. It's their way out. We were fortunate for our kids. It wasn't the way out for them. We would have been just fine if they never went into the music industry.
Right.
I always joke and say, if my kids said they wanted to be a doctor, Jesse, I would have told them, hey, go to medical school. And when you get out, I would have bought a hospital.
That's right.
You know,
that's amazing. Yeah. You are you a Christian?
I believe in faith. I don't give it titles.
Oh, see.
I believe in faith. I believe in the universe. I believe if the evil that we do comes back to us in karma. I don't give it titles. I've been growing up a Baptist.
Yeah.
I was talking about this just last night. When I married my former wife, one of the parts of that was I had to become a Catholic. So I was a Catholic.
Yeah.
We founded a Methodist church that I think currently has about 15,000 members. So I'm spiritual. I believe in faith along with science, and I believe in karma and universe. I don't believe in giving it titles, Baptist, Christian, Muslim. I just believe in doing the right thing in my life.
In your book, I believe you wrote that Beyonce, the girl group that Beyonce belonged to at one time, went on Star Search. Mm-hmm. And you said that the judges were all old white men. What did you mean by that?
Well, I meant by that was, for those that don't know, Star Search is like American Idol today. So I wasn't the manager then. I had nothing to do with the group other than they asked me, the managers of the group, they asked me to come to carry the bags, the luggage, because they had so much luggage. They literally got a separate bedroom just for the luggage. So I helped them with that.
Right.
But I told the managers when I saw who the judges were, we're talking 94, 95, somewhere in there, maybe 93. But the judges were all white, and the song that the managers elected was had a part that Beyonce would sing, a part where Kelly would sing, and a part where one of the girls would rap. And I thought that was a poor decision to do something with rap, because as you know, in the early 90s, rap was considered extremely negative by
white.
And they had a beautiful ballad with harmonies. And I just thought it was a wrong decision. And that's what I meant. It was the judges with old white men. They were like 50s then. Now I'm 68. You know, 50s don't seem old. There was a brother that was going to be the next judge. Oh, boy. He was with BET, Donnie Simpson. Simpson. Remember Donnie Simpson?
The name sounds familiar, absolutely.
Yeah, he was a brother that did the videos back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to be a judge on the next show. And I said, look, do the song with the rap in it in the next show, because Donnie was a celebrity and all the other judges would listen to what he had to say.
Right.
And would agree with him. It's just a poor decision. That's what I meant by it.
Oh, okay. You didn't mean racist and other. They were just older guys.
Just older guys.
Your book talk a little bit about Jay-Z, Beyonce's husband, and what impact did he have on Beyonce?
Well, he married her.
Has he had a good impact or a negative?
Oh, he's had a positive impact. I have nothing but wonderful things to say about Jay-Z. I really just recently have really had the time to spend before the coronavirus and before. But Jay-Z is a smart, smart young man. He loves his family without a question. And he wants best for them. So I have absolutely nothing but positive things to say about Jay.
I noticed that. I don't know what Beyonce was like before marrying him, because I wasn't aware of her at the time. And I noticed that she seemed to become very radical. She did a performance at a Super Bowl game or something like that. She wore black, and she was doing the black power, black power, black power. She's into the Black Lives Matter thing. What caused her, if it wasn't her husband's influence, what caused her to become so radical?
Her mother and father. That's an easy answer. I didn't even have to hesitate on that.
You mean you, meaning you, you and your wife caused her to become so radical?
Yeah, Solange is also radical.
And why they, why would you do that to them?
Do what to them?
Cause them to become so radical, kind of all into
well,
the bad
radical,
thing.
Radical is not a negative word. Radical means that you also bring awareness. You know, radical doesn't mean that I'm out, you know, defaming and putting down people. Radical mean that we want to have power, black power. That can mean financial power. You know, we are $1 trillion. If we look at all the revenue generated by blacks in America, we would be the same as a whole country. So we're talking about economic power when we say black power. We're talking about family power. We're talking about, so I don't see that being the word radical.
But
let me just finish, please. I was a radical at Xerox Corporation where I worked for 10 years. I was president of the black organization at Xerox. So I'm proud to say that Xerox became the number one corporation for blacks in America to work in. I think sometimes radical is just bringing awareness and letting someone else know your opinion in a strong way, not in a forceful way, but sometimes sitting at the table. I don't view that. But so my kids saw their parents. You know, my former wife and my friend, Tina, she was radical. She had the big afro. I went to Fisk University after going to the University of Tennessee. We were very radical. We had
amazing.
Fisk University.
I had
University.
No idea that came from her parents. I thought she was influenced by that radical husband of hers.
No.
But this whole idea of black power is evil. It's an evil idea because there's no such thing as black power. Black people can live as people, just like normal people, if they want to work hard and have a lot of money and live in certain places. And if they want to support other black businesses or white businesses or whatever, it's best to go that route because when you go radical like that and promote all this black power and Black Lives Matter and all that crap, all you do is divide the races just as the blacks accuse the whites of doing with KKK. Why become like what you hate?
No, that's your perception of that, Jesse. I think I started this out by saying that I don't take it personally when you have a perspective. I don't take that personally. And I don't have to agree with your perspective. I don't agree with your perspective. And I choose not to have to defend my perspective. I'm merely saying that my definition of radical could be totally different than your definition of radical. Because your definition appears, I can't speak for you, but it only appears that it's a negative thing. My definition of a radical is change. A change in behavior to modify the way that we behave. And so I'm seeing using the word radical in a positive way. And when I say black power, I say that in a positive way, not in a negative way.
But how can you believe in
go ahead, I'm sorry.
How can you believe in God and believe in something called black power? That is nothing. There's no love in that. It doesn't unite. It divides.
But again,
it has a
Jesse,
negative impact on children who are born out of wedlock. Look at the impact that is having on all these black children that are born out of wedlock that don't have fathers and mothers to guide them. They now hate white people. They're very radical. They burn down buildings. They lose. They riot. They have no sense of self-control. And people like Beyonce and Beyonce, Michelle and Obama and all them, they encourage that type of hatred. With this black power thing.
I don't know who Beyonce is, but...
She's married... That's your daughter married to Jay-Z.
Well, you said Beyonce and then Beyonce, and I got confused. But look, Jesse, you are certainly have your opinion. I think that we're at a period in time in America that, as black people, we need to unite. In my opinion, we're... in a period of structural racism, when we look at poverty level of Black people, when we look at the education, when we look at housing, when we look at our health and wellness and how we lead in most categories of death, when we look at the justice system and all the things and the number of Black men in prison, that we need to unify, not divide. So I want to thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Well, I know you're about to run, but one little back up, little thing. If Blacks have families rather than all this Black power crap that caused them to feel like victims, if they had families the way you and I did growing up, would they be in jail? Would there be poverty in the manner that it is? Would there be all this stuff happening if they grew up with a decent father and mother?
Well, I can't answer that for you. I know a lot of mothers that do. A lot of Black mothers that do an incredible job, and they live with their own without a father in the home.
I know, where are they?
I know a lot of dads also. So it's a different age, a different era. Again, thank you for the opportunity.
Bye. Are you about to run? No, he ran. Yeah. He ran. Oh my God! No. That was Beyonce's daddy. What's his name? Matthew Knowles. Matthew Knowles ran from Jesse Lee Peterson. Beta! Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. He pretended to be all sober-minded and dealing with it and welcome different of opinion. But Matthew Knowles, founder and CEO of Music World Entertainment, the author of many books, including Destiny Child, The Untold Story, the father of music superstar Beyonce, and his other daughter's name is Solange, right? Solange Z. No, not Z. But he ran. He was supposed to be on for an hour. Don't let him tell you he didn't run. He ran. Oh, he ran. I am dumbfounded, and we from Alabama. Matthew Knowles ran from Jesse Peterson because he didn't want to be honest. That's what it was, about why Blacks are acting this way. If they had families the way he and I did growing up, is that all right? Why are they looking weird? If Blacks had families, fathers and mothers, grandparents and all this, and the example, would they have done well in life as well? He didn't want to answer that. Amazing. He didn't want to talk about his radical children. I didn't get a chance to put him in the hot seat. Oh, I guess he was in the hot seat. That seat was burning. That's why he ran. And we were talking about his daughters. Beta! Matthew Knowles. I keep saying Michael because I just interviewed a Michael before this interview, and it was amazing. So I got Michael on my mind here. Beyonce's daddy ran. That's it for that interview, folks. Let me know what you think about it. And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, tweet, share, and go to our store there. The FallEstate.tv store purchases a lot of good stuff. And the Fall Estate is on Patreon. Click on the link there in the description and support what we're doing. But don't let anyone fool you. Matthew Knowles ran from Jesse Lee Peterson. He was supposed to be on long. He became very uncomfortable. The heat. And I was just having a conversation. We two country boys. Amazing. Well, he said he was radical. No wonder his children are radical. I had no idea that the father and the mother were radical. But anyway, thank you, folks. Have a good one.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Do you agree with me that the civil rights movement was a horrible mistake? One of the worst things ever happened to the Blacks.
As far as its integration piece and all of that, Yes.
What the white was fighting against is that the black were trying to force the whites to love them. And you can't make anyone love you. Had they left the people alone, we would have come together based on character, based on what we believe in.
That's probably why the civil rights was introduced then.
Yeah, to divide.
For us not to be able to get along.
Yes.
And we think, oh, civil rights, yeah, it helped us move forward. Like, we off the back of the bus and all this dumb shit.
You're right.
Like, so what that I could ride in the front of the bus now? My whole fucking community is fucked up. These people are the masters of twisting things around.
Lord Jamar of the hip-hop group Brand Nubian.
Another victim in this perfect system, broken and cold. And devastated by the escalation taking its hold.
For watching The Fallen State, we need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.